House of Devils. Thereafter, Robinson and I finished lunch comprising coffee, white soup, and English cheese. Lunch was exceptional, thank you. Robinson informed me with sincerity. Would you like another cup of coffee or perhaps something stronger? Robinson grinned. This early it's after 1:30. It's never very early or very late for a drink. That's the dilemma with you, spending too often occasions, meddling in other people's lives with that newspaper of yours to consume fine drink. Robinson inhaled. And again, you ask me to come? My God, Edwin, is you going senile? You're the same age as I. Suggest something else distasteful, and I'll throw you out on your hind. I raised a crumbled paw, brandishing it at the newspaper editor. I took up a bell on the black table beside the armchair in which I sat, ranging for Yamalitha's attention. She pushed the massive doors aside. You sounded, Mr. Irwin. Yes, will you please serve me a stone fence? Absolutely, she replied. Robinson laughed, a stone fence and a little cider? Are you turning sweet on me? Colonel Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys raided Fort Ticonderoga, and consumed the ubiquitous drink, stone fence. They embraced the blends of strong cider and rum, always asking what they wanted to drink. Drop 2 ounces of dark rum in a glass, added with strong cider, preferably a touch of sweetness, garnished with a lemon twist. I sniffed, toward Robinson's statement, thus I mumbled, coming from a cheap penny paper son, I shall say. Get on with the story, Edwin. Not before I have my girl a drink, you say. Then, Yamileth pushed to doors for the fourth time that noon, carrying a second tray with my stone fence. Will that be all, sir? Yes, for now until the bell clang again. She bowed and left us in privacy. I gazed at Robinson. The man nearly meeting the settee's edge, with his pen posed upward, and a fresh notebook full of empty lines. That's a large notebook you have there, Robinson. For a man with a story to confess, he replied. I lifted an eyebrow as I took a quaff of the drink, and wheezed with discomfort, crossing my legs with a secret painful spasm. I wouldn't give Robinson the satisfaction of how I truly felt at the given moment. It started on November 11, 1765. Ah, I recall that day, as if it was yesterday. I started. Robinson fumbled with his pen, surprised by my sudden start of my tale. I took another sip of the stone fence, smacked my lips. The sample of rum lingered with the lemon twist, penetrated creases in my lips. The drink stung a bit from the lemon's sour behavior upon my illness. I can imagine the lemon is as bitter as you, Edwin. Robinson declared. He challenged me to move on. It was a blistery evening, and I had planned to celebrate my 20th birthday. Family is coming for a visit, Edwin. Where are you going? Lydia, my mother asked. Struck with a bit of annoyance to see her son dressing, leaving Hearthstone Estate. I never wished to stay and entertain your rubbish family on my young adulthood birthday. For heaven's sakes, mother, I want to go out amongst colleagues. Oh, would it kill you to spend time with family? Yes, it would. It would kill me stone dead. Mother yoked up in her shoulders, put her hands on her ample, womanly hips, and glared at me. I saw all of this, staring at my mother through the mirror with my back turned aside from her. I had arranged my body in a white shirt, stockings, and garters. Then to include foundation garments, breeches, waistcoat, shoes, kerchief, I tied my long, black hair into a twisted braid, added a thin, black ribbon at the end. All done, I put on my daily garment, a black, felt hat, made of wool with three corners known as tricorn and a cockade on the side, I turned toward my mother, grabbing my out garment. An overcoat too, made of wool, fitting loosely upon my inside clothing. My mother became bewildered, seizing her petticoat, so the skirt lifted off the floor, and went out the chamber. The massive oak door closed. I heard her footsteps disappear into the hallway. I turned back to the mirror. She can't tell me what to do now. I'm a grown man with my own wishes and decisions. I despise hanging around my father then, my brother Gabe, cousin Holly, Aunt Elizabeth, and Uncle Phoenix. There was more to Breed, but didn't show as much. And why were they coming to celebrate my birthday? They despised me just as much. Was it because I am a poet and a writer? I put in notices for an editor and literature reviewer. They swear I won't get that. And my father and mother went along with the family shenanigans. House of Devils. House of Devils. Born into the blood-diseased bones. My teeth chatter. Creating chalk to pick up on my grids. Oh, how my bones ache to belong to another part of education. My ancestors took up. Full of selfishness and gluttony to lust. Some say, I am one of thee. I say, every man for himself. Edwin Peter Irwin, 1765. I want to compose in my memoir and not actually meet acquaintances. I do not want my blood to recognize my interests if I plan to stay. It's my born day, if I remain inside my chamber to compose, perhaps a poet, or brief story of my irritability, the blood will come a-flattening, spilling its disapproval upon my door. I already cannot rid of them. Perhaps, I should retire and cater to the results of my editorial and literate reviewer status. That would sound delightful news to bring back to Hearthstone and start deterioration of their bones. Afterward, I left the estate, merely to return an hour. Sure, I thought House of Devils would diminish by then within absence of my presence. But, no, they lingered in the great dining room as bats, hanging from a bare tree branch, gathered around a yearning, oak table with what they claimed birthday banquet. I became furious. Balling up my fist, clenching my teeth, my face turned crimson as the flames going inside the fireplace across the room. The estate remained chilly on that November day, my born day, a day in that time of year in which I turned a man, a day never returning onto me, but other birthdays coming shortly after my 20th year, the best year of a man's life. I thought about my father's 20th year and grew even furious. A 20-year-old man becoming a father well after his 20th year, neither had he celebrated it with a house of devils, a gathering of greedy rats, snapping dogs, wagging their jaws because they couldn't obtain what they wanted. I stayed for the banquet and decided that remained most memorable 20th year for all of us.